So I'm noticing a lot of times that the Sfas Emes will tend to keep on repeating, a lot of ideas, which I find is a good thing, because by the time he repeats it a lot of times, it'll sink in. So he begins, like, we're not exactly going to go in order. The other thing is that the Sfas Emes, when we learn Sfas Emes, you're not going to go in order, because basically the way the book works is that each year he says over. So year after year, you could go backwards. So he begins, you have to look at inside in the Chumash. He begins, it's on page 259, Parak Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yudches. Vayitein el Moshe kichaloso ledaber ito. Talks a lot about that word kichaloso. He gives to Moshe, when he finishes talking to him, Bahar Sinai, Shnei Luchos Aedos. One of the seminal events of Parshas Ki Sisa is, of course, the breaking of the Luchos. So that's being introduced here. He gave to Moshe, when he finished speaking to him, Bahar Sinai, Shnei Luchos Aedos. Luchos Evan, Luchos of stone, k'suvim be'etzba elokim, written with the hand of the Ribbono Shel. So the Sfas Emes talks about the word kichaloso. A medrash. So he quotes a medrash. We had this medrash even just a couple of weeks ago. Aitena Moshe kichaloso sof mem yom. At the end of 40 days of being up there at Har Sinai, Omar, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Eini yodea klum. God, you just spent the last 40 days teaching me Torah. I don't understand a word that you just said over 40 days. Sounds like most kids after shiur in high school. I'd say after you listen to the Rebbe for a day. Rebbe, I don't know what you're talking about. Nasan l'akadosh baruch hu b'matana. So the Medrash says, okay, God said, you didn't understand it through your hard work and your effort. I'm going to give it to you b'matana. I'm going to give it to you as a gift. Meaning, Moshe put in all the effort for 40 days. He didn't know anything. But at the end, God said, okay, I'm just going to give it to you straight, even though you didn't understand it. Pirish, shadiek tevas kichaloso. After he was medayik in the word kichaloso, only when he finished. Kichaloso means when he finished. Like we say in davening, in the Shmoneh Esrei, we say, Hatov kilo chalu rachamecha. Right, we say every day. Hatov, God, we're so happy, kilo chalu rachamecha. Your mercy didn't end. Chaloso means to end. Lomar ki akol toli b'sof ha-maaseh. Sfas Emes says, everything depends on the end of the action. What does this mean? Ki b'chol ha-mitzvos, by all mitzvos, ein b'koach ha-adam l'stabek b'shoresh ha-mitzvah. Yeah, figure out a way to shut that off. It's on the beamer. Ein b'koach ha-adam l'stabek, I think it's going to go off by itself. I must have hit snooze by accident. And all mitzvos, the Sfas Emes stresses something very important. Let's say we're about to keep Shabbos this week, or any mitzvah that a person does, the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. So in every mitzvah, the goal is not just to perform the mitzvah and check the checkbox off and say, okay, God, I did the mitzvah. The goal of a mitzvah is to connect to Hashem through the mitzvah, is to grow in your spirituality through the mitzvah, to become a more spiritual, a more connected person through the mitzvah. But he says that goal only happens when you complete the mitzvah, when you finish it. And he says, how does that work? Very nice. You sat and heard the Megillah, so you get more connected. How does that happen? So he says, logically, it doesn't make sense that such a thing should happen. It's not a logical thing. It's not a physical thing. It's a metaphysical thing. It's something that you need help from Shemayim for. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu sat for 40 days, tried to connect, and it wasn't happening. So God gave it to him as a gift. Sha'al yidei kiyum ha-mitzvah. Through being mekayim the mitzvah, where's the sheets here? Good. Shaidei kiyam mitzvah. Herbie, you can sit right here if you want. You can do that. Shayidei ki, I'm just trying to conserve my voice. I want people to stay close. Shayidei ki ha-mitzvah. Shemare umarames lestavik biktushas ha-mitzvahs. In other words, when a Jew makes a decision to do a mitzvah, a Jew makes a decision to daven, to keep Shabbos, a Jew makes a decision to hear the Megillah, he's showing that he wants to connect through the mitzvah. Mar'eh, he shows umarames, he's hinting to God that he wants to connect. Oz posach lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu shari bina. So then, once he does this act, showing that he wants to do it, so Hashem opens up these gates of understanding. Ach, zeba besof hamasa. This happens only after you do the action. L'chein haminiach be'emtza lo heisei geikar ha-mechuvan. A guy who drops the mitzvah in the middle, he's not going to get to what he's supposed to get. If you'll remember, the Sfas Emes said, this is the pshat in Naseh v'nishma. Naseh v'nishma. Sfas Emes said a lot of times what happens is a person only gets to the understanding of the mitzvah. He only gets to the connection to Hashem for the mitzvah through doing it. Only once you do it and you show, because, and there's a lot of lessons in this, but that's why the mitzvah is always called after the person who finishes it. That's what it means in this pasuk in the Kisisa. When he finished it, it was given to him in matana. Moshe Rabbeinu sat for 40 days and 40 nights, and he tried his hardest to understand. Once he tried his hardest to understand, once he completed all that he could do, so there's a lot of messages here. One of them is that a lot of times, if you don't feel the connection to a mitzvah, it's a little counterintuitive. Because sometimes a person thinks like, I need to be in a certain state of mind in order to be able to connect to this mitzvah, or this mitzvah doesn't talk to me, or I don't feel it. I'm not feeling it. I have a kid comes to davening and says, I'm not feeling it. Not feeling it this morning, Rabbi. Not feeling it. Not feeling it. So the Sfasemis is saying, of course you're not feeling it. It's not normal for a human being of flesh and blood to connect to God through davening. Sometimes you have to jump into it and do it, and only after you do it, you'll feel it. You can't like sit on the outside, or let's say a Baal Tshuva or somebody, he doesn't know, you try to explain to him what Shabbos is. You know, this Shabbos is a beautiful thing. Really, I got to shut down from everything? Really, that's such a beautiful thing. I got to shut down from all the things that I'm used to doing. I can't drive, I can't talk on the phone. What kind of crazy day is this? You're going to make me, I'm not excited about that. You have to experience it first. You have to do it first. If you do it and try to do it, so then God gives it to you by matana. This is the Sfas Emes' Lashutasa. He always talks about a very Hasidic kind of idea that any connection that we get to God only happens because God gives that to us. It's not human. We're human beings. We're flesh and blood. It doesn't make sense we should connect. Only once you show you want to connect by jumping in and doing the mitzvah does God actually give you the gift of connection. But that's a gift that God gives you at the end. It's not something that's natural. It's not something that makes sense that it happens. It's metaphysical. It's otherworldly. It's not something that's normal in the course of nature, of the natural course of events. You should sit and hear Megillah, and that should be inspiring. It should help you connect more. You should give Mishloach Manos. You do a mitzvah that makes you connect. Beforehand, it doesn't make sense. But once you jump into the mitzvah and show, God, you commanded us that we should do this, and I'm doing it because I want the connection to you. So then God gives it to you as a gift. And we should realize that when a person's not in the mood, or he's not feeling it, or it's not, and it happens to everybody. Everybody gets into those times that you're not in the mood. Everybody. So we have to realize that you jump in. He said this a lot of times. Nasa v'nishma. This is the way he understands. Nasa v'nishma. First you got to jump in. Now he has one more pshat. One more pshat in kechaloso. It's all part of the same paragraph. I just broke it up to be able to give a little commentary in the middle. Gam pirish kechaloso, who kalos hanefesh l'Hashem, kevin she'asa b'chol yicholto, v'hishlem kol koach nafsho, l'hasek pikude Hashem. Kechaloso has another meaning. Kechaloso. Chalasa means you have to put all your effort and energy into it. Literally, you're gonna finish yourself up. You're gonna leave it all out there on the floor. Like last night in my Purim Suda. So, every year, Larry Gross, the hockey coach of DRS, joins me at my Purim Suda. And with his girlfriend, Lynn. They come to my Purim Suda every year. So I was telling my kids and the other guests who were there, what's Larry's godless? I can't imagine. For the last, this is the first year in 14 years, that he doesn't either have the varsity team or the JV team in the championship. It's the first year that one of the teams wasn't in the championship. And they should have been in there. Even this year, they were good enough to be, whatever. They blew it. But I said, how can that be? A coach can get 13 straight years? Unheard of. That one of his teams should be in the championship game. We lost a lot of the championship games in the 13-year span. Sometimes we lost both championship games. A lot of times we lost both. But to get there, a lot of teams never get there ever. How's it happen? So the answer is kechalosa. The answer is exactly that. The answer is he's all in. You can't be successful. Right? I happen to know the YU Maccabees coach. My mishpacha, right? He's my mishpacha. That's my son-in-law's brother. My son-in-law's brother. See, Menachem, I got you some YU PR over here. So, what's the key to success of a good sports coach? You got to be all in. You got to leave it all out there on the floor. There's a lot. You could learn a lot from sports, to Yiddishkeit. You can learn a lot. And you got to be all in. And that's what this Fasema says on the word kichalo. So, how is Moshe Rabbeinu Zocha that after 40 days, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, I don't understand the word of it. God gave it to Matana Kose, it was kichalo. So, he totally left it all out there. He dried up every ounce of energy and ability that he had in doing it. And God said, that's the effort you put in. I'm going to give it to you now as a gift. Kichalo. So, you have to leave it all out there. You can't just dabble in it. You say, I'll try. I'll come to davening. I'll go through the motions. I'll slap on the tefillin, slap them off. I'll sit there. I'll daydream a little bit. Go through the motions. The words. Like sometimes you can finish davening. One would say, did I really daven today? Did I actually put on tefillin today? I don't really remember. It didn't make an impression. You gotta be all in. That's the other thing. You gotta be all in. Kichaloso. Ukimochen kaladam. Kifi kocho. Yochalahasig mashi eshlanishmaso. Chelek betoras Hashem. Kimamar vesein chalkenu besorasach. Each of us has a chelek in Torah. Each of us has a chelek in Yiddishkeit, in mitzvos. But you gotta put all the effort in. The more effort you put in, the more Hashem gives it to you. Ah, beautiful. Let's keep going. Now we're going from Tafresh Lamed Vav to Tafresh Lamed Zayin. The Medrash. Wow, this Medrash is absolutely incredible. It's incredible. This is hard to understand. It's incredible. Vayishaber Osam Tachas Ahar. So Moshe broke the Luchos. Where is that? Page 261. Lamed Beis Yud Tes. Vayihi kasher karav al ha-machane. Moshe Rabbeinu got close to the machane. Vayaris ha-egel u-mecholos. He saw the egel and the circles of dancing of Jewish people around the egel. Vayicharaf Moshe, he got very angry. Vayashlech miyadav es haluchos. He threw the luchos down. Vayishaber osam tachas ahar. He broke them at the foot of the mountain. Says the Medrash. Vayishaber osam v'chulei. Kevan she'ra Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha'shalom she'en li Yisrael amida. when he saw that the Jewish people did not have a backbone. Chiber atzmo imahem. So Moshe Rabbeinu attached himself to the Jewish people. Heim chatu v'ani chatasi. Ayin shom. If the Jewish people are sinners, then I am a sinner with them. Consequently, he broke Hashem's Torah, threw the Torah on the floor. They sinned. I'm a part of them. I'm going to sin also. Says the Sfas Emes, like Barry said, Ve'ein muvan. This is completely not understandable. What the heck is the Medrash talking about? That's what the Sfas Emes says. Ein muvan. V'gam kasha. Furthermore, the other Medrash is difficult. Ha'isa, we all know, Shera osios parchos ba'avir. Moshe Rabbeinu saw the letters flying off the luchos. We all know this, of course, to be true, that the letters were flying off the luchos. Lachain shiber osam. That's why it is. It wasn't that he sinned. In other words, they know the luchos no longer had their kedusha. That's how he threw them down, because the letters flew off. So that's how he did it. So why is he a sinner? It didn't have any more kedusha anymore. The Medrash says the letters flew off. He saw, as a result of the eagle, the letters were flowing off the luchos. So that's why he threw them down, because they were worthless. So what are you telling me he sinned? Oh. Venera Bira Inyan. It's going to take a while. So much good stuff this week. I'm afraid I'm not going to get to it. Venera Bira Inyan. Kibuvadai HaTorah Toloi Bahachonas B'nei Yisrael. Shehein Mekable HaTorah. Torah depends on the level of acceptance of the Jewish people of the Torah. Torah depends on the preparation. Siv. Choros Alaluchos. Cheros miyetzer hara. Right? That's a couple of psukim earlier. Take a look in the Chumash, gentlemen. Tez Zayin, three psukim earlier. Vahaluchos maase elokim hema. Vahamichta michta elokimu choros aluchos. The word choros literally means engraved. But Chazal have a drasha. Al tikre choros elacheros, which means Torah can only sink into a person when he's free from his yetzer hara. If a guy's got his Yetzirah in one hand and Torah in the other hand, ain't gonna go. Ain't gonna go. You gotta free yourself from it. Now, it's true, Barry. When a person learns Torah, that helps him get free from the Yetzirah. But you gotta also first be free. You gotta prepare yourself. You can't just jump straight into it, straight out of being a Baal Aveir. It's not gonna work. It's not gonna work. You gotta prepare yourself a little bit. That's why the Jewish people had to sanctify themselves for 3 days before Har Sinai. Sanctify, separate from your wife. You have to separate from the bad thoughts. You have to go to a mikveh. You got to purify yourself. He's going to explain that's why there's a custom. I don't observe this custom. My Rebbe's against this custom. But there's a custom that you go to the mikveh on Erev Shabbos. Got to be careful. We got Eish Kodesh people. My Rebbe's against it. Some people go to the mikveh every day. Whatever, different menhagim. All menhagim of Klal Yisrael are great. But that's why the Sfas Emes certainly was very much in favor of this minhag. It's the minhag's quote in Shulchan Aruch. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Ah. Says the Sfas Emes, Ha'inyon, ki bevadai ha-Torah tolei b'achonas b'nei Yisrael she'em mekablei ha-Torah. Ksiv, choros ha-aluchas, cheres mi-Yitzahara, cheres mi-Malach ha-Moves, cheres mi-Misa. Bekoshe, Ma pirush al haluchos. What do you mean, choros al haluchos? Rak. Kifi ma shenechkak v'nechras ha'oras ha'torah belibos b'nei Yisrael, kach nechkaku osios beluchos gamke. She'ikra k'siva belev. Mosh kosev, kosveim aluach libecha. Engrave them on the tablet of your heart. U'lachein k'shechatu b'nei Yisrael osios parch. Wow. When Klal Yisrael sinned at the Cheder Egel, the letters flew off the luchos. Because the Torah depends on us. Yisrael v'oraisa v'kudja b'richu chadu. The Jewish people, the Torah, and Rabbonu Shalom all are one. We're the chosen people. Hashem decided to give us the Torah, and when we worship in Egel, that causes the letters to fly off the Luchos. Omnom. Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashem, bottom paragraph. Lo chata be'emes. So now, what does it mean that Moshe Rabbeinu said they sin? We said, says this Fasam is Chas Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't sin. V'haya b'kocho. So the first lesson from this is that it's like a symbiotic relationship between the Jewish people and the Torah. When we throw off the Torah, when we worship in Egel, when we say we're not interested, so k'viyachol, it's like the letters fly off the luchos. The Torah can't stick in with us. It's like a quid pro quo. If we're not interested, we don't get it. If you don't prepare yourself for it, if you're not interested, it's not going to happen. Now, so what's Moshe Rabbeinu's role? So here this fast seven says something unbelievable. Moshe didn't actually sin. He could have held the luchos in his own hands. God said, okay, these people aren't worthy, Moshe. I'll make you into a nation. That's in the parsha. It's in the parsha. Right? Yeah. Where is that? It's somewhere over here. So there is a place in the parasha where Moshe, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'll wipe all of them out and I'll just make a nation out of you. It's on page 260. V'ata hanichali le'echav yim ha'chalem, page pasuk yud. V'esa oscha l'goy gadol. So that's what got Moshe all upset. Back in the Sfasemis. Ki mosa nafsho b'avor b'nei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu would not hear any of it. He was Moser Nefesh on behalf of the Jewish people. Moshe did not want to separate himself from the Jewish people. From the fact that he attached himself to them and he didn't separate for them. Moshe, it was more beloved that he should be a part of the Jewish people than to get the Luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that God's relationship with the Jewish people was more beloved to him than even giving the Torah to them. That's why the letters flew off, because God said, if my people doesn't want the Torah, then I can't have a Torah. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu broke them. Now again, here's where it gets complicated. Maybe one of you can explain it to me better than my post-Purim Suda reading of this. Says the Sfas Emes, by the very fact that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't willing to just take the Torah for himself, but he jumped in with Klal Yisrael at this time when they were sinning and said, I want to be with them, I want to help them, that actually fixed them and redeemed them and helped bring them to tshuva. Moshe Rabbeinu somehow was able to purify them because, this is what he says, I'm just telling you the words, I don't fully understand them, but as far as this dimension of Moshe Rabbeinu joining in with them at this time, in that dimension they did not sin. Because when they sinned, he wasn't with them. Now he jumped in, he threw his lot in with them, and somehow that elevated them. I heard from my grandfather, says that the Chiddush Harim, Shamar, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. Hold on a second. So, what's he saying? I don't know what he's saying, but I'll tell you what I get out of it. Right? First of all, you see the connection between a tzibur and a rebbe, right? Chassidish idea. Even if you're not a chassid, right, you see how attaching yourself to a holy person, to a, that could elevate a person. You'll say, I don't understand. I'm a sinner. and he's a holy person. How does that help me? I'm me and he's him. What does that help me to go visit a tzaddik, to go learn from a tzaddik, to be inspired by? How does that help me? I'm a lowly person. So it's somehow the Sfasam seems to say over here that Moshe Rabbeinu, because he was where he was, just him attaching himself to the Jewish people was able to purify them at this moment in a certain measure. Somehow, either metaphysically or just simply, just seeing a tzaddik, seeing someone who's a gadol b'Torah, seeing someone who's a great Talmud Chacham, it can elevate a person, because a person could see, hey, there's a piece of me there's a piece of me that wants to be like that. There's a piece of me that identifies with that. There's a piece of me that respects that. There's a piece of me that can climb out of my sinful state somehow by climbing onto the back of the tzaddik, by climbing onto that relationship. Hold on, he says more. Listen to this. And this is also a tremendous lesson in the ability of a tzaddik to influence a community. There's another medrash. This is an incredible medrash. When God gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Luchos, he said, I am your God. So the medrash has something crazy. Litein pischon peh. I wish we had like an hour, 2 hours. Litein pischon peh la Moshe. Li amris velo lahem. So the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu could have said, hey, God said he's only my God. He's not your God. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. In the singular. It doesn't say Anochi Hashem Elokechem. It says Elokecha. So the Medrash says, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu could have gone to the Jewish people and said, sorry guys, I know we had this whole Mamad Har Sinai thing. You separated yourself from your wives for 3 days and you were expecting God to give you something. Sorry, he only gave it to me, not to you. So says the Medrash. Says the Sfas Emes. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I saw Howie was saying, that's ridiculous. What does that mean? Upirish. So says the Sfas Emes. What in the world does this mean? Moshe Rabbeinu could have said the Torah was just given. Then what? God did this whole sound and light show just to give it to Moshe? What does that mean? Upirish. Shavada Yatsiva Hayel Kla Yisrael. So says the Sfas Emes. The Medrash doesn't mean that there's a Havamina that God only gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. But what does it mean? It means he only gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael bizchus Moshe Rabbeinu. Ach, kimo sheheim achtos echad udvukim b'Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha-shalom, shehu ha-miyachid osam ba-ofen zat sivui. Sorry. Shehu ha-miyachid osam kama ba-ofen zat, in this manner, Hatsivui Shenemar Elov Hulahem. The commandment that was said in the singular to him really belongs to them also. Kihu Achtos Echad Imahem, because Moshe Rabbeinu is one with them. And this is an excuse for the sin of the Chet Egel. Kibavadai Kodam Achet Naflu Mizos Achtos. Before the sin, they were separated from Moshe for 40 days, so they lost their connection to him. And that's like an excuse for Klal Yisrael for the sin. We didn't have our leader. So Anochi Hashem Elokecha was not directed at them when they were at the Madrega of being with Moshe. Ach hachetu mashabo lidei kach lipo miklalos ha'achtos. They did sin in the fact that they let themselves distance from Moshe Rabbeinu. They let themselves forget about that connection. That's what my Zaidi said. So again, very esoteric and complicated here. But what's that? Exactly. So. Good question. It's a good question. So he's saying any sin somehow, any time they sin, it's because they lose that connection, that respect, that reverence for Moshe Rabbeinu, who represents the Ribbono Shel Olam to them. He presents it, right? Sfasem is here again, a very Hasidish idea, this idea that a person can be influenced by a tzaddik, a person can be inspired by a gadol Torah, but it doesn't have to be a tzaddik. It could be a friend sitting next to you in shul, davening the right way. It doesn't have to be a tzaddik, but the more a person attaches himself, right? We all know people in our lives who are inspiring personalities. They're inspiring people. They lift you. They have the ability to lift up people. Lift up just by watching the way they daven, watching the way they do chesed, watching the way they can completely dedicate themselves. We have to surround ourselves with people like this. It's hard. It's very difficult to do that. There's very few. You're right, especially where we live in our lives. You got to all go to Eretz Yisrael. You go to Eretz Yisrael. You have more people. More people like that. Here it's very, very difficult. It's very, very hard to do. But the Sfasemis is saying that it's possible for a person to mamish, lift himself up. That's a very important part of being a Jew, is to connect with holy people. At least that's the Sfasemis' Judaism. The Sfasemis' Judaism is that connecting with holy people is a very, very important of you, because they affect you. They affect you. And he's saying they affect you in a metaphysical way. I'm saying, not what he's saying. I'm saying that they affect you in a very practical kind of a way. You watch the way people act. It gives you the ability to say, hey, I can do this. This is something I could do. It gives you an idea of what a person can become. What a person can become. Right? When I see some of my students who have far, far eclipsed me, far, far eclipsed me, not even in their Torah knowledge, in their hasmada. And there's people who are, I have students who are writing svarim and who are saying creative, amazing ideas. And I spend most of my day answering emails. I'm a little worried I'm going to go up to Shamayim after 120 years and God's going to say, you spend 7 hours a day answering emails. What's your problem? Jerry, you're gonna come up there and defend me up there after that? I hope you're gonna defend me after that. I need you to defend me up there. Anyway. So this past summer I made a lot of cheshbon on Nefesh. I celebrated a big birthday, so I spent one day. I went up to Camp Morashat to sit with my Rebbe, to pour out to him all my guilt from all that I'm not accomplishing. So he said, so hire somebody else to sit and answer the emails, and you should sit in Beis Medrash all day. I didn't listen to him. Jerry says it one once. That's what I said, Jerry. I'm going to need you to defend me up there after 120. I need you to defend me up there. That's what I said. Okay. Had a conversation with the Talmud. Had a conversation with the Talmud last night. There's one Talmud who calls me every year after the Purim Seder. Sober. I don't believe in the drunk Purims. I don't believe in it. My Rebbe doesn't believe in it. I don't believe in it. I don't believe in it. He's totally, he just called to wish Hakaras HaTov, to give thanks. He's a Rebbe in another yeshiva in Baltimore. It's a Rebbe in Baltimore yeshiva. And he really appreciates the time that he had in yeshiva. And he's tremendously Makir Tov. And Purim, I guess, is a time when, you know, people have like sincere thoughts and feelings. It's a time you drink a little bit. I mean, I never in my lifetime, I haven't gotten drunk in my lifetime. Ever. But still, at the Purim Seder, things are flowing a little bit more loose. You feel uninhibited to say some of the things that you feel. So whatever, he calls me every year. Just, you know, so he was expressing all kinds of hakaras hatov, all this stuff. And like I was saying to him, you know, it's a big chizuk for the Rebbe's when the kids, you know, because the Rebbe's feel like, you know, again, I personally very often feel inadequate when compared to some of my students and some of my rabbeim, some of my chaverim who have the merit of spending all their time involved in more holy pursuits. And I'm thankful I have a few hours a day I can spend in very holy pursuits, and most of my day is spent in it through email. So it gives me chizuk. But the idea is that I'm inspired by my students. I'm inspired by them, and I try not to have it be a chalisha sadas. I try not to have it be a depressing episode. But I try to always have a positive attitude and say, okay, if my students are like that, if there's other talmidei chacham, but it's hard. They're few and far between. It's hard to find those inspiring people in Golos. It's very hard to find them. We have to try. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was for Klal Yisrael. And the Sfasema says it in a very, very dramatic kind of a way. There's a lot to do for homework this week, So let's try to summarize the last few pieces. You know me, I can't hold back. So in the next two pieces, he says, it's an incredible medrash that says the first luchos that were given with sound and light show in public with thunder and lightning, they didn't last. But the second luchos that were given quietly, those are the ones that last. Ask the Sfasemis, well then why didn't God give the first one privately? Heard the medrash, he never thought of the kasha, right? So he answers basically is that you need first to enter into a new experience with excitement and islavos, with strength and power. We know that over the long term, you're not going to be able to keep it as exciting. And I think I told you that my father tells every bar mitzvah boy, it's anachas tefillin in YNJ. I want you to have the same excitement that you putting on your tefillin today. When you put on your tefillin in 30 years, I want you to have the same excitement. So it's probably true that it's probably not possible to have exactly the same excitement. But if the kid doesn't at least have that excitement on day one, he's certainly not going to have it by the 30th year. You got to at least start. Hopefully you'll be able to live off that inspiration. I like to say, I said in the notes here, right? If you're not excited about Shana Aleph, then there's not going to be any Shana Bet or Shana Gimel. We're in it together, Howie. We're in it together.
It's working though.
We're in it together, Baruch Hashem. But if you're not excited to start out with, you got to have energy. Okay, it's going to wane afterwards, but hopefully you'll be able to get it back. But so that's basically the episode of what he says in the next two paragraphs. So I'll just read you a little bit of it. And he says something very beautiful about this. It's so beautiful. We all know we live in a difficult world. It's a difficult world to serve Hashem in this world. It's very, very hard. We're not living in the times of Mamad Har Sinai, in the times of Beis HaMikdash, in the times of the Nevi'im and the prophets. We're miles and miles away from that. But says the Sfasemis, because of that, our service of Hashem is all the more precious. When a Jew in Gullis in Woodmere in 2018 wakes up early on a Friday morning to learn Torah, the angels in Shemayim are like going crazy. There's so many other things we could be distracted with, so many other things we could be doing. We're dedicating this time to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the middle of a world that's so far away, that's crazy, that all kinds of garbage is happening out there. And we have those few minutes that we're dedicating to Kedusha. It's worth as much as in the times of the tzaddikim that they would learn for a week. That's what this hour is worth for us. That's what he says. So even though the second luchos were on a lower level, they're more precious. Even though they weren't with the thunder and lightning, they end up lasting longer. Because, yeah, it was through sin, it was after difficulty. But if a person can raise himself up even in that lowly state and say, and pick himself up by the bootstraps. See, even the small little avodas that we do on our little level, on our low level that we do in our low state, that's going to be something that lasts. And that's very precious to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even more precious. And he says, that's why the Gemara says, someone who's a sinner who picks himself up by the bootstraps and figures out a way to serve God, even when he feels very far away, that's more precious to God. And the big tzaddikim who serve God yom and v'layla, they never fall, they never fail. It's even more precious. Oh, so much good stuff. Okay, one more. One more. Even though we have a lot more. Right, if you look at the top line on this page 3. That's why you gotta go to the mikveh Erev Shabbos. Okay, we at least do this if we don't go to the mikveh Erev Shabbos. We at least change our clothing. Oh, what does he say over here? Okay, look at the pasuk. Kodesh hu lachem. Shabbos. Shabbos. Take a look very quickly. What does he say? Right, Shabbos shows up again in this week's parasha. Where is Shabbos? I know it's here. Oh. Here it is. Take a look at page 258. On the bottom. Vayom HaShem Moshe Mor Ba'atah Da'i Ba'vanei Se'i Wa'achis Shabbososai Tishmoru. He says a lot about this. Kodesh hi lachem. Kodesh hi lachem. Shabbos is holy for you. Says the Sfas. The holiness of Shabbos is found already in you. The Kedusha is in us. That's why we put on new clothing on Shabbos. Really? Really? Putting on new clothing? So all of a sudden I magically get transformed into a holy object on Shabbos? Well, who are we trying to fool? It's the same human being under the clothing. What in the world does the clothing make a difference? Says the Sfas Emes. The Kedusha is in each Jew. Just all the other 6 days of the week, you can't see it. On Shabbos, just change your clothing. You'll see it inside you. It was really inside you all along. All you got to do is change the externals. Any schmutz that we have is all just external. It's all just on the outside. Deep inside, all of us are Elokai Neshamish and Asat to be Tahorei. We're all pure on the inside. Just during the other six days a week, it's covered over. By changing the cover, we're symbolically reminding ourselves that deep inside, we're all just Shabbos. Somebody sent me yesterday, the Lubavitcher Rebbe used to say on Purim, you see the guy get dressed up like a clown on Purim? It doesn't bother you. Because it's just a costume. He's not really a clown. It's just on the outside. Says the Sasemis, you see a guy who's a terrible Baal Midos, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, you see a guy who's a miser and he's a not nice person, don't get upset with him. He's just that on the outside. On the inside, that's not really who he is. He's a Jew. He's a holy Jew. It's just the way he's behaving. It's not really who he is on the inside. The Jewish people are shchora and even ava. We're dark on the outside, but we're beautiful on the inside. Any sinning that we do is not part of the essence of who we are. Kodesh hilachem. Kodesh hilachem, says the Sfas Emes, means Shabbos tells a Jew that you really all week long your Shabbos. Kodesh hilachem. Just on the outside, you're running around doing crazy things. Look at line number 5. We're going to have to end with this. L'chein, k'sheyesh zmanim shezochin l'hasir amal b'shachitzon. When we have times where we can get rid of that external garment, u'miskala apnimius, k'mo b'shavis kodesh, chozrin l'akdusha k'barishona. Putting on the new clothing on Shabbos, we go back to our original sanctity that we were when we came into the world. By Maamad Har Sinai. L'chein Shabbos hu edus l'bnei Yisrael. K'mo b'mishkan. Ki osi, what does the pasuk say? It's a sign that really you're pure. If you can be pure on Shabbos, that's a sign that you really are pure all the time. If you can get to it once a week, that shows that you really have it in you. To be that way always. It's just the other 6 days of the week, it gets hidden. Wow. Lodas ki ani Hashem mekadoshchem. That's how you read this beautiful pasuk. Va'ato davar when he said more aches abzos et shmor ki osi minirech l'dayin lodas ki ani Hashem. It's a sign that you should know that you're really wearing those clothing all week long. Ah. We've run out of time. There's so much good stuff here. You got to do the rest for homework. Rabosai. Bottom line is, Purim is supposed to reveal this in us as well. Post Purim, we can't be the same person as before. Purim is that time that Nichnas Yayin Yatzah Sod. What's really deep inside a person. I'm sure I've said this in the Shir many, many times over the years. People ask me, why do you not get dressed up on Purim? My wife was like furious with me over the years already. My wife goes through all this creative stuff to create a whole theme, and it's unbelievable what she does. The creative juices in the family are not on my end of the family. I'm not creative at all. It's not one of my strengths. I have strengths. Creativity is not one of them. I'm not an original person. What do I do every week to you? I just read what the Sfasemba says. I don't know. I'm not a creative person. It's not my thing. But so my wife has a whole theme and everything, and the table is set up in the themes of the Shlach. I can't even describe it. I'm telling you, people actually come every year just to see what my wife concocted this year. I couldn't even begin to think about doing it. But I'm the party pooper in the family. I don't get dressed up. So if you guys want to get dressed up, the real reason I get dressed up is this. Yeah. Purim is the one day a year that I actually try to be myself. It's the one day a year that I actually try to speak the truth and say what I really mean. I don't have to tell parents what's politically correct to tell them. I don't have to tell people what they want to hear. A lot of times people come to me, they don't want to hear what the truth is. They want to hear what they want to hear. They don't want to hear the truth. So Purim is the one day that I try to only speak the truth, to try to actually be myself, to try to connect to that place inside me that's not wearing a mask. I wear a mask all year long, all the time. I have to say things only in a certain way and do things the way people want to hear it. And you know, Purim is the one day I try to say it like it is. I'm not so good at saying it like it is. Sometimes I tell Rav Bina, I'm like jealous of him because Because you know, he has that ability to say, again, I think if he was in my position, he wouldn't last that long. I don't think so. If I was in his position, I might not last that long either. I don't know. But sometimes you got to say it like it is. Purim is the day, you got to be truthful. You got to say, so that's why I don't get dressed up. So hopefully post-Purim, each of us can connect to that place deep inside of us that knows the truth, that knows the way we're supposed to be, that knows what it is. And we could bring more truth into our lives and bring more of finding that who we are really inside, that person who wants to connect. And after we really try hard connecting, Hashem will give it to us as a gift. A great Shabbos and a Frilichim Purim, everybody.